יהיו לרצון נמרתי בגיוני בלפניך אדוני צורי וגואלי. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of my heart be acceptable before you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Shalom all, welcome, bienvenidos, erev tov, buenas noches to our kosher Torah school classes. We're learning now in the Torah of the Kabbalah, and I am, of course, your host, Ariel Bar Tzedok. You find me online at koshertorah.com. As I said, we're learning the teachings of the Kabbalistic schools of Torah. Our text is called Dat Utfuna, the Book of Knowledge and Perception, written by the famous Baghdadi Kabbalist Rabbi Yosef Haim, known to us as the Ben Ish Hai of Baghdad, who, for the record, was a 19th and 20th century rabbi. Rabbi Haim, our author here, only passed away, I believe, in 1909. So he is of relatively modern times. This book, Dat Utfuna, was written as a compendium, as an introduction into the encyclopedic knowledge of the Lurianic Kabbalah. We just finished a series from the 19th chapter dealing with the interrelationship of the worlds. And we are now going to start a new topic, which therefore is a new series, which is the topic of prophecy. This is the Kabbalah of prophecy. But a point that we must understand right from the beginning is that we have to dispel the mythology of prophecy. So many people believe so much of what is prophecy that, according to our classical sources, is not. Now remember, prophecy, everybody uses the word. Everybody has their own definition of prophecy. They think the fortune teller on the street corner who's reading tarot cards is a prophet, and the psychic and the seer and the intuitive is a prophet. Well, not by any standards of biblical or religious criteria. Just let's say that. People want to call themselves anything. People can call themselves whatever they want. That's irrelevant to us. Our discussion, needless to say, is going to be founded within the concepts as they are taught from and expounded in the Torah. And that is our source of information. And here I give you this caveat. You can understand it or not. But the point that I wish to make very clear, I'm not here to teach doctrine. I'm certainly not here to teach religion. Rather, as you know, is our mandate here at Kosher Torah, I'm here to try to help you understand these teachings and to make them relevant and real. In other words, to understand the universal psychological parameters of what these things actually are, how they apply to you and me, and how they are real within a universal human concept above and beyond any philosophical discussion, and certainly above and beyond any theological definitions. So therefore, while I'm not here to tell people what to or not to believe whatever you want, I am here to explain what the teachings are, how they are, and we will take it from there. So again, to dispel myth, what is prophecy? Well, most people believe that prophecy is God talks to you, right? The Lord said to me. Well, depending on your religion, there are many different definitions of how the Lord speaks to people. Today, in the Western world, it is very common in certain schools of Christianity to believe that God speaks to people in their hearts. And the people who are of this philosophical persuasion are absolutely convinced that somehow, somewhere, some, in quote, sign outside of themselves or some feeling inside themselves is an absolute sign of God. They're absolutely convinced that's the word of the Lord reaching out to them and that God is speaking to them directly and personally. And de facto, that makes them a prophet. I've heard people, even in our own Jewish community, make such claims. Well, from a psychological point of view, we can readily dispel any of these notions as having any legitimacy whatsoever. Is someone in touch with something inside them? I'm sure they are. What is that something? That is the question. That needs to be subject to analysis, understanding, and insight. Carl Jung, in psychoanalysis, did some excellent work in understanding what we call the noumenosis, or the experience of the divine within. And for those who are able and interested to go into an in-depth academic understanding of the material from a proper psychiatric and psychological point of view, I would encourage people to learn right from the writings of Dr. Jung or the post-Jungians, concepts such as the noumenostic experience within the individuation process and the like. It is enlightening, to say the least. But let's again continue to dispel myth. People believe that if they become a prophet, meaning God's going to talk to them, that all of a sudden they are imbued with powers. They can see things. They can jump, you know, higher than the tall building, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. You know, I'm quoting to you from the old Superman theme song. Because people get filled with these delusions of grandeur. And that is always an indicative sign of something psychologically not proper. And yet, prophecy does exist. The definition of what is a prophet has multiple expansive contexts. So just because somebody does make contact with something somewhere, call it psychic intuition, call it in touch with any type of spirit, be it psychological and or whatever else one believes, that does not a prophet make. Being a psychic does not make one a prophet. Being a fortune teller does not make one a prophet. Someone here in text was asking before we began, can someone see into the world of Atzilut? Well, no, you can never ever see into the world of Atzilut. Well, how can that be? Because the world of Atzilut corresponds to the human unconscious. You can't look into the unconscious. It's dark, it's black. That's why it's called unconscious. But you can have unconscious content come out from the unconscious into the conscious mind. All right, that's the way it works. Now that is something true. So, to understand prophecy, the Ben Ish Chai is going to start by quoting from, of course, Rabbi Chaim Vital. And he's going to quote from his book, Sha'arei Kiddushah. Now, we have taught the Sha'arei Kiddushah, and those lessons are readily available in our Kosher Torah online store for those who want to have a deeper understanding of these things. But we look at the idea, the concept of the mind as having an ability to reach out beyond the limitations of the organic brain. We will call that in modern terminology, parapsychology. Now, there are many people who want to consider parapsychology a pseudoscience, but most of those also consider the existence of the mind to be not real either. Well, we have to deal with what is real. I've shared in numerous of my previous classes and very insightful television program on the Science Channel called Through the Wormhole, starring Morgan Freeman. In season number 2, I believe episode 6, they did episode 5 or 6, I forget which. They did an episode on the sixth sense. and brought down in the television program a remarkable number of examples from, needless to say, fully credited university researchers and the profound truths and reality that they have discovered in the power of what we call parapsychology. Now, I emphasize this at the beginning to try to underlie why these things are real. Again, I have a question here in text. Do other cultures ascend on high? Well, it all depends. What does that mean? And mind you, in Judaism, it doesn't refer to ascending on high. In Judaism, it's referring to a descent, not an ascent. You see, we still suffer from the mythology. Yes, it's a myth to believe that we actually go someplace. When we read in the famous story of the Talmud of the four great sages, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Elisha, Ben Abuya, and Rabbi Akiva, who ascended to the Paradis, right? Where did they go? They didn't go anywhere. They went into an altered state of consciousness. They went into their minds. So, in the Christian tradition, it's written that Paul ascended to the third heaven. Same thing, all in his mind. For those who are familiar with the Indian or Native American traditions or the Chinese Taoist traditions, all vision quest occurs in the mind. And anything occurring in the realm of the mind, we have a word for that today. We call it psychological. Now, again, my point in helping you understand this material is to extract it from the fairy tales and the myth and to bring it back home. Bring it back to reality. Bring it back to truth. Why? Because like Rabbi Chaim, quoted by the Ben Ishai, is going to share and teach, prophecy is a real thing. When we understand what real prophecy is, as we will explain, I believe that. And one of the major things that we teach here at Kosher Torah is this prophetic meditation. But I have to lay down to you the great basic foundations. I have to lay down to you step one. Why? Because I want you to walk the path. I want you to walk with me along the yellow brick road and we're off to see the wizard. But I want you in reality to recognize where it is that, in quote, we go. We're not astral projecting. We're not going off to the Pleiades to see the hot, blonde-haired, blue-eyed babes up there. We're not descending to inner earth to see the little gray Nishayas or anything of the kind. No, we're going off into the mind. We're going off into the realms, the domains of psychology. As we made very, very clear in our previous series about the inner connections of the worlds, all of these domains, which in Kabbalah speak are Asiya, Yetzira, Biriya, and Atzilut, these are all domains of consciousness, psychological places, realms and domains within the mind. And that is vital for our understanding. And therefore, education, sharpening of the mind, helps one come closer to an actual and an authentic, if you will, prophetic experience. Many people, like I mentioned moments ago, believe in their heart that the Lord is speaking to them. And probably in almost all those occasions, they're self-deluded, self-fulfilling dreams, self-fulfilling wishes. If you really want to know the way of God, you have to take that feeling and subject it to the most intense scrutiny, analysis, to really see if it makes sense. Because God makes sense. God makes sense out of the universe. And if we don't understand it, that's our blemish, not God's. So as we continue, we will proceed to explain, teach, and hopefully you'll put these things into practice. Because for those who really want to, in quote, reach out and touch God, or have God reach out and touch you, then you have to be able to understand and recognize exactly what the nature of that really is. So with this lengthy introduction, let's go now into chapter 20 of the Da'at HaTfuna, where the Ben Ish Chai is going to start by quoting the Sha'ari Kedusha of Rabbi Chaim Vital. Ketav od Rabbeinu Zala b'sefer Sha'ari Kedusha, and he writes, Hine nitba'er b'shara kodem, ki nakal hu hayot ha'adam mitnabe, liot kolel kol ha'olamot. It is only nakal, appropriate, natural, if you will, for a man to prophesy, being that he is the composite, the kolel, of all of the worlds. We have within us, what are these worlds? They're psychological domains. We have our physical side, our emotional side, our intellectual rational side, and our imaginative, unconscious side, intuitive side, if you will. He says, Kulan mitparnasim al yede ma'asav. All the worlds are supported and nourished by man. How can that be that we as mortal flesh could have such power? Stop thinking of outside worlds and start remembering we're talking about the inside world. You, your choices, what you choose to do, what you choose, yes, choose to feel, what you choose to think, what you choose to imagine, it's all your choices. That is correct. You have that power. And as such, so somebody is asking a question in text. Is he not talking about the other dimensions or worlds that God created? Is he talking about the psychology of man? My dear student, there's no difference between the two. Those other dimensions or worlds are the realms of psychology in us. They are not outside physical domains somewhere on the other side of the rainbow. That is the mistake that so many people make. That is the mythology and the fantasy. And let's be blunt, the lie. Baal Shem Tov taught this in the Sefer Baal Shem Tov Parshat Vayet Hanan. All the worlds are within us. That's how they are accessed. That's how they are experienced. That's where they are. That's why we have such an influence over them. They are us. We are them. And therefore, what we do, how we feel, what we think, and what we can imagine creates paradise or creates hell. All the worlds are therefore dependent upon us. And again, remember, and I reference you back to that television program Through the Wormhole, the mind of man is not limited to the organic brain. We are interconnected. This was the great secret that the sages of the Talmud said, or hinted to, when they made the statement, Kol Yisrael aruvin ze leze. All humanity is interconnected. Your thoughts influence my thoughts. My feelings influence yours. And therefore, the education that I have received, that I understand, and the clarity that I've worked so hard to accomplish, I share with you, so that you too may see with your own eyes, rather than have to rely upon my vision. Continuing. Alam biyadenu mekol ze. Let's just continue. Ki adraba hanuvua mukhrechet limitzabo alam. Prophecy. And let's just define prophecy right now as communication with higher realms. And let's define higher realms as the realms deeper within our own psyche. We must stay true to the actual facts and not allow ourselves to get lost in the fantasy, or you'll never get this material correct. It is absolutely necessary, there you go, all right, that this contact, this connection be in the world. Why? Kedei liyasher ha'adam, so that man can improve his ways, u'litaken ma'asav, and rectify his deeds, liyamashech shefa, so we can bring radiance to all of the worlds, v'lo yitbatelu chas v'shalom, so they're not nullified. How does one bring radiance to the world? By bringing repair, by bringing goodness, by bringing hope to one's deeds, to one's feelings, to one's mind, to one's imagination. For those who have lost hope in life, they live in a dark cloud, they create hell within themselves. For those who have hope, vigor, and see the sun, they bring light, share it, teach it. Komo shne'emar, and he quotes here the verse, Behalom ehbehizion layla, azigile aven anashim. Says, at night, in the dreams of the night, is revealed a man's sins. Why would a man's sins be revealed to him at night? If you don't understand the psychology of the interpretations of dreams, you won't understand the relationship. Read Freud, read Jung, even read Erich Fromm, about how the subconscious, where deep down our, in quote, higher or unconscious selves knows a greater and higher reality. And when we, our conscious selves, are not true to that, we create within ourselves division, denial. In Jungian terms, it's called a shadow. In Lurianic terms, Kabbalah, it's called a klipa. All the same thing. Our dreams at night, where in which the conscious mind, instead of focusing on the outside world, focuses on the inside, receives a message from inside saying, hey, you messed up. We got to fix things. If that connection was not there, how on earth could we ever learn from the point of self-introspection if there's no self within us with which to communicate? It says, Lahasir Adam Ma'aseh, right? So, Ve'ilu lo sharatan nevu'ah al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, and if prophecy never rested on Moses, v'horid Torah min ha'shamayim, and he brought down the Torah from heaven, which is what sustains all of the worlds, as it states here, im lo briti yomam ba'layla, hukat shamayim ha'aretz lo samti, if not for my covenant with day and night, then the edicts and order of the heavens and the earth I would not have placed. All right, it says here that all of the worlds would be destroyed, God forbid. Really? Do you think the entire universe would cease to exist if the human race ceased to exist? Please, have no such delusions of grandeur. All right? If the human species ceased to exist now, the universe probably wouldn't even blink an eye. The universe and everybody and everywhere and everything else would still continue. So how then can we make a statement of this nature? And the answer is, our relationship with the world, our covenant, day and night, the laws of heavens and the earth, these are part and parcel of the way and means of what we call the universal Torah. We talk all about this in the Rabbi Ben Amozeid class, Israel and Humanity. And we teach how important it is to learn Torah from everything and everywhere in life. And if we fail to see the connection, God is in nature, and nature comes forth from God. Torah, the laws of nature and the laws of Torah are one and the same. And if you cannot and do not see this, then the laws of day and night, the laws of the heavens and the earth, will be destroyed. And this is exactly what happens when we disconnect ourselves from the natural world. We create imbalance in nature. We create imbalance in human society. And ultimately and inevitably, you know, like the old saying, whatever goes up must come down. Whatever is imbalanced inevitably must come around to rebalance. Sometimes it is not an easy thing. So the question is asked here, did the Torah come from within Moses, or was there a real heaven from which the Torah came? Well, I'm sure the Torah came from heaven. But here's the interesting thing. Go back to the revelation of Mount Sinai, a point that Maimonides makes very clear. The only thing that the people heard directly from God himself, from the Ten Commandments, was the first two commandments. Scripture is very clear on that. Everything else they claim they heard from Moses. Now, where did Moses get it from? Moses had prophecy. Now, we state that the prophecy of Moses was different then, unlike any and of all the other prophets which came later. And that we believe is true. There is a uniqueness to the prophecy of Moses, which is a topic of another discussion for another time. And according to the legends, the Midrash, there is some very peculiar extraterrestrial suggestions with regards to the episode with Moses and Mount Sinai. But as with regards to the first two commandments, it says the people heard the voice of God. And Maimonides makes it very clear that the people heard the voice, but not words. And that the words were heard in the people's psyche, or essentially psychic communication from the voice, what we would today call telepathy. God telepathically spoke his commandments into the, I believe, into the genes. I believe that the people who stood at Sinai were genetically manipulated, but that's my own personal opinion that I could never prove. And somehow there was an imprint there that enabled people to become intuitively in touch with these things. Again, a question is asked here, were the original Ten Commandments different from the second set? According to Kabbalistic teachings, yes. But we don't need to get into that right now because it's outside of our topic. But let's continue. U'bedarko nimshichu acharav kol ha'nevi'im. All the other prophets continued after Moses. But what was the point? Yesher et ha'am, so as to guide the people. U'la'ir aneihem b'chokhmat ha'Torah, to guide and enlighten their eyes in the wisdom of Torah and in its secrets. Alide Ruach HaKodesh, by what we call divine inspiration that was cloaked within them. Now, this is the important thing. The prophets were very different from Moses. A point, again, that Maimonides makes very clear. All the prophets, with the exception of Moses, did not speak directly to God, but God spoke to them through his messenger. Oh, messenger, of course, in Hebrew is malach. Malach, of course, is the angel. And when we read through the scripture, you will always find a very peculiar combination of terms. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared, and God spoke, saying. Well, wait a second. If the angel is there, where did God come from? What is the relationship between the angel of the Lord and God? Well, think about the angel of God being, if you will, like the apparatus of a telephone. And then it rings, ding-a-ling-a-ling, and God speaks through it. So the angel becomes the conduit. This is the order. We spoke about this in our previous series in the Ben Ish Chai, about how the lights and emanations emanate from Atzilut to Biriyah, from the domain of the Sefirot to the domain of the Neshamot souls, and from there to the Malachim, and then down to us. This is now putting the process into practice. When someone has three levels of clarity, clarity of morals, which we call the rectification of Yetzirah, which in my writings on the Way of Enlightenment, series of essays on Kosher Torah School and koshertorah.com, I refer to it as enlightenment of the heart. The second level, Tikkun HaBiri'ah, the Tikkun of the Neshama, I refer to as enlightenment of the mind. Then a third level, Maimonides speaks of called the rectification of the imagination, or imaginative faculty. All three have to be pure. We would call that then the tikkun of the inner atzilut. People today are very convoluted and clouded with a very congested minds. Our emotions are in turmoil. Our thoughts are confused. Our imaginations are certainly not able to make the connections necessary to understand what all of it means and to make rational, analytical sense out of it all. That's the big deal. That's the important thing. There's a concept in Jungian psychology called synchronicity. Synchronicity means to sync, you know, like to connect things. And the term is pretty much to describe when we have an outside external phenomena that takes on an internal psychological meaning for us. For example, let's say the wind is blowing outside, something comes banging up against my window. That's just nature. There's nothing in that, is there? Right? Winds blow, things bang. But when that occurred, at such and such a time, at such and such a day, I was thinking such and such a thought, and that episode made me think, made me understand, gave me insight, made me connect to something. That benign episode had a personal interpretive meaning for me. That's what we call synchronicity, a connection, to sync something from outside and inside. Well, this is pretty much how Ruach HaKodesh works, where in which we look to the outside world and somehow, somewhere, cultivate meaning and purpose from things. Now, many people can look at anything and everything in the world and think that it is a sign from heaven. And the code of Jewish law, section Yorah De'ah, in the laws of these things, specifically states we don't accept such signs. It is forbidden to think or to pursue such things. Yes, look at our laws of the occult. It's one of the free audio series on Kosher Torah School. We have it. We teach it right there. Now, aside from this being a religious issue, what does it mean psychologically? Why can't I just believe? Problem with belief, as we all know, is that some people are misguided by their beliefs. Some people do things with the absolute conviction that it is right, when the results are absolutely wrong. You see, Kabbalah speak. We say that the lights of Chokhmah of Atzilut have to descend into Biriyah Bina, and that all of the Mochin of Abba enter into the Mochin of Ima. Or, if you will, the psychic, the intuitive, have to be brought into the rational, intellectual, understanding mind, Bina. And only there, when they are scrutinized with analysis, that we can see clarity and rationality, can we accept and embrace them as having a semblance of meaning. This demystifies things, takes it out of the realm of myth, brings it into the realm of reality. And this is where true connection comes from. And you want an example of this type of experience today? Aside from applying this to religious philosophy or doctrine, how about apply it to science and the likes of the incredible minds of men like Albert Einstein or Nikola Tesla? How about into the brilliant, beautiful musical minds of the likes of a Bach or a Beethoven, or artists, people who can grasp things because their imaginative faculty is so profound and they're able to grasp it into their rational cognitive mind and to translate it into deed? There you go. Out of the realm of fantasy into the realm of reality. That is how we must understand these things. Nimtza, we thus find. Ki nivu'ah v'ruach ha-kodesh, prophecy and this divine inspiration, muchrachim limatzeh bo'olam, u'davar nakel hu, These things must exist in the world, and it should be obvious. Ach, umnam nit betana'ai, sheim tzu'u ba'anashim ra'uyim lakach. But the condition is that these things will only exist in those people who are, he says here, ra'ui, worthy. But worthy is not a state that is defined by religion, but by your psychology. Can you handle it? Are you able to integrate it? Are you mentally, emotionally grounded, strong and clear that you can handle the truth? For most of us, that answer is no. And that's why most people don't become prophets or have Ruach HaKodesh. Even though they might claim and believe that they do. Good for them. As we say, the proof is in the pudding. The next time somebody says to you, I'm clairvoyant, I'm psychic, I speak with God and God speaks to me, or I talk to this angel or this soul or 25,000-year-old Atlantean warlord and blah, blah, blah. You know what? Just cut to the quick. You say, just like this, give me the winning numbers of tomorrow's $1 million lottery. When I get those numbers from you, from your mystic spirits, and I win $1 million, I will acknowledge it. Okay? Anyone of you, that's my personal challenge, right? I'd love to win the $1 million lottery. Anybody's got the numbers? Go for it. Okay? Yeah, okay. You understand my point? Some things are beyond the mystical, magical powers. There's all kind of BS excuses that the spirits and all this give. This is how you tell the difference between real and what's not. If something's real, you manifest it as real. Something's not, it's just not. All right? This is why one of the discussional tools used in the Zohar is the words Tahaze, which means come and see. Seeing means to have a clear proof that this is real. And if you don't got it, it ain't there, in spite of whatever you want to believe. And I know that's very harsh for many people, because they want so desperately to believe that the Lord is telling them this or that. Well, I'm not here to convince you what to or not to believe. But I might want to help you understand that things might not be as black and white as you think. Now, let's discuss all the issues of prophecy, what it's all about. Hine, nitba'er. Let's explain. Ki or echad hu, b'tzurat adam, mitpashet, b'kol araba olamot abiya, ad sof araba yesadot ze ha'olam ha'shefel. We have a light. A singular light. We claim that it is in the, in quote, image of man. And it radiates throughout all the four worlds, all the way down to this physical mundane world. What is this light? It is the comprehensive image of, if you will, our collective humanity. It is who and what we are. For whom meet the beck, bo'orot odam ha'elyon, and it clings to what's called the supernal man, which is the ten sefirot, what we would refer to within ourselves as the higher universal pattern, the source, the domain of atzilut within, the unconscious. Our light connects to a higher light. And that is why we have the ability of what we call self-reflection. That there's something inside ourselves that we can, you know, reflect off of. It states again, V'hem mitlabishim b'zeh ha'or ha'nikra or machtzav ha'neshamot. This light of the ten sefirot, we said, cloaks itself within the light of the domain of souls, which we've spoken about in our previous lesson. V'kol ha'neshamot ha'tachtonim. Kalalot sham. All souls, therefore, below are here connected. וברידתם בעולם הזה, and his souls descend into this physical world, להתלבש בגופותיהם, to be born into our physical bodies, מניחות שורשיהם דביקות במקומם אשר שם חוצבו. The source of our consciousness, here he calls our souls, still remains above, connected to the place from which we emanate. If you will, the relationship of the unconscious to the conscious mind. There's always that higher domain above us, outside of our reach, which is still very much our higher selves, our spiritual guides. וענפי השורשים ההם לבדם הם יורדות בדרך התפשטות לבד מתלבשות בגופות בעולם הזה. It's only, if you will, branches that emanate from the source of our true essence, which come into this physical world to cloak into these physical bodies. כדמיון ענפי האילן, just like the branches of trees, שהם דבוקות ומשורשות בגוף האילן ממש, like are grafted and connected to the trunk. It's an interesting image, but that is the way that we understand the relationship of the conscious to the unconscious mind. We understand that there is something called a collective unconscious. It's a Jungian term, but we again refer to it when in the Lurianic teachings it says all souls are united in Adam. We are a hive mind collective at the greatest, highest unconscious level. And each of us is an individual monad of sentience which emanates out from this source like spokes from the center of the wheel. Branches come forth from the trunk of the tree. וכופפות עצמם למטה, and we are bent down, you know, like a tree branch bends down, right? ונוגעת בקרקע עצמו, and we come down and touch the ground, ועודן נחזות בגוף האילן, all the while we're still connected to the body of the tree. וכאשר אדם חוטא, now remember this metaphor of the soul being like a branch. When a soul, a person here, blemishes, the word is sins, a sin. All right? What kind of a sin? A sin which leads to what we call hikaret. All right? Which leads to being disconnected. Nikhret oto ha'anaf ha'ilan. It's like breaking the branch off from the root of the tree. V'nish'ar nifrad memeno. And remains separate from it. V'omed bo olam hazeh. And stays in this world. Keruach ha'behema. Like the soul or spirit of an animal. וזה סוד הקרת, תקרת נפש ההיא. And this is the secret of what it says in the Bible when a soul is cut off from its people. We can behave in such ways that we create such divisions from our own higher selves that we lose contact with, disconnect from our own inner essence, or what we call our conscience. And that is the state which we call karet, which means to be cut off. Person is, in quote, cut off. You're still a thinking, feeling, viable, living human being. But notice he stated here, you're no different from the spirit of the animal. Why? Because for you, you have no inner referral. You have no context of that inner reflection in which to look. For you, it's just eat and drink, tomorrow we die. Most people are like this today. And that's why we say that most people, using this metaphor, are cut off. Well, they're not cut off from God. Why? Because God's the life force energy of the universe. Someone's cut off from the life force energy of the universe, they'd cease to exist. So if someone's existing, then they're still connected. They're cut off from themselves. They're cut off from their source. They're cut off from their humanity. And therefore, this obviously becomes the first level of tikkun, rectification, that needs to be addressed. Now, this can be addressed mythologically, metaphorically, through all kinds of religious rituals. Just to time date us now, we are in the Hebrew month of Elul, We are on the countdown to Rosh Hashanah, the new year, which we hold in our tradition to be the day of universal judgment. Today, God's going to bless us or curse us for the entire year. Some people come into this period and they are disconnected, which means that they're oblivious to their state of disconnection from the world, from the universe, from the Torah, from themselves. And as such, they believe by doing mystical, magical, mumbo-jumbo, by doing certain types of fast or something, that all of a sudden they can make things better. Well, that's not true. If you really want to make things better, you have to work hard to become a better human being. You have to rectify one's behavior, rectify one's heart, rectify one's mind. Only after rectification, balance, harmony is achieved in these three levels can we work to bring to them enlightenment. Again, the topic of the essays that I am writing now. But this is important for us to understand the nature of what this disconnection or this excommunication or this being cut off really means. V'zeo sod ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh. This is the secret, as the verse says in the Bible. Man is like the tree of the field. V'zeo sod ma shenemar betzadikim. And also, this is the secret of why it often and it refers to the righteous in the Bible with their double name, where in which when it was called out to Abraham, it said, Abraham, Abraham, or Jacob, Jacob, or Moses, Moses. Why mention the name twice? What, the guy's sleeping, not paying attention? No. The first name, the first reference, corresponds to the higher level of the source of the soul, which is above. It says here, Nishar lamala devuk be'ilan, which is the source above which stays connected to the tree. Psychologically, we'd call that our unconscious connection to the collective unconscious. V'zehu anikra mazalo shel adam. We say that this is a person's mazal. A mazal is a person's higher influence. In Jungian speak, we call this one's higher self. We refer to this as one's guardian angel. In certain prophetic practices, we refer to this as one's magid, or spiritual guide. This is one's inner self that one must be connected to. And he says here, Komo she'ne'amar she'ra'a Moshe Rabbeinu mazalo. And this is what it means in the Midrash, very famous Midrash, which says that Moses saw the mazal of Rabbi Akiva, who was sitting and discussing the Torah. Well, what did he see? Rabbi Akiva wasn't even born yet. Rabbi Akiva wouldn't be born for thousands of years. He certainly could not have seen Rabbi Akiva. But according to our understanding, he saw the source of Rabbi Akiva's soul. And therefore, looking into the source of the soul, could see what its life would be like on earth. And he says here, Ki memeno nozela shefa elanaf. It's from one's higher self that comes down, radiates this force to the branch. The branch of the soul which comes and clings into and dresses, cloaks into the body. V'hine, ha'shoresh hu elyon me'od b'rosh romatzilut. The ultimate source of all of us is in a very high and sublime place, all the way at the head of the atzilut. Atzilut, remember, the realm of the unconscious. The source of the unconscious. It will never become conscious. We can't go there. All we can do is wait for some parts of it to come conscious into the conscious mind. In the words of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, famous Kabbalist before the Ari, in his book, Pardes Rimonim, he relates, he references the three Sefirot, Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina, the upper three which correspond to the realm of the mind, with Bina being the conscious mind, Atzilut being the unconscious mind, and Keter being the source of all. He states that with Bina, one can ask questions and receive answers, rational, analytical. With regards to Atzilut, one can ask questions, but there are no answers. It's metaphysics. One can imagine, one can postulate, one can suggest, but there's no response. And with Keter, the source, not even a question can be asked. Certainly no answer. completely in the dark to us. Va'anaf aroch me'od. This branch, he says, is very, very long. Mitpashet bekol olamot. It emanates down through all the different worlds. Remember, realms of consciousness. Ad shetit lebesh ketzahu bazeh aguf. Until it comes down and cloaks itself a little bit, just a wee bit within the body. Or in other words, human consciousness is only a small part of the human mind. And there is so much going on in the unconscious. Compare it to the tip of the iceberg that's above the water, to the entire massive mountain beneath it. That's the human mind. U'bekol madrega shebekol olam. All right? And in each and every level, in each and every world, maniach sham shoresh echad. There is a spark from the source in each and every domain. U'be'ofan she'ein lecha neshama. And therefore, there is not a single soul. She'ein lo shoreshim le'ein ketz. Does not have an infinite number of sources, connections. Ze lamala meze ve'al yedeh, one above the other. In other words, we all have connections to multiple levels of self-referral within us, an infinite number. Ve'al yedeh ma'asav, and by our behaviors, we are zoche la'alot l'kulan. By our behaviors, rectifying, balancing our physical deeds, our emotions, our mind. We can rise up through the realms of the, in quote, inner domains to bring clarity, peace, balance, and harmony. This is called the ascent in this Kabbalistic tradition. Ki kol ha-madregot olam asiya. We start through all the different worlds and realms of asiya. Shoreshav asher heniach asham nikraim kulan nefesh ahad. All of the different realms and domains within the Asiatic world, of this physical world, are called all the realms of the Nefesh, a single, complete Nefesh of Asiya. And that's exactly how it is with all the other realms and worlds. Now that's a concept, actually, about the multiple levels of the soul within the multiple levels of the soul. We discussed that in our previous series, and I'll encourage you to go listen there. They're all free online. So I'm going to stop here and we'll begin a new topic about the continuation of prophecy as we continue. But let's just sum up here and help us understand all the realms, all the domains, in quote, out there are accessed from inside us. We are truly dealing with the realms and domains of psychology, not with the domains and realms of anything else. If you can understand this, then your practices of meditation will take on richer, deeper, and truer meaning to you and make your revelations and insights and enlightenment real, to freeing you from mythology, myth, and fantasy, and the complete misunderstanding of religious traditions, as unfortunately so many people have for such a long time. But alrighty. On that note, we'll conclude in this class. Again, I want to thank you all for joining me. I want to ask you to please take advantage of our online free library. All the classes, as you know, on our online free library are based upon our Kosher Torah honor system. I believe that it is the right religious way to provide this material to you. And I ask that in your generosity and kindness, you would remember Kosher Torah and please donate to our organization to help defray our growing costs. Let's be blunt. We have to be in the real world. Part of the real world is paying the real bills. I could sit and meditate all along. That's not going to put money in the bank. All right? I'm here for you. I pray that you'll be here for me. I thank you all, one and all. I'll see you in our next class. So let's conclude here. God bless. Good night. Buenas noches. Shalom.